Peace be with you. Ah, very good. Look at you, Protestants. I bring you greetings of grace and peace from the East, where I've spent way too much time this past year. For those of you who are looking at me like, who is she? I've never seen her before. I've spent an awful lot of time this past year back home with my parents in Connecticut, as my father was making his home going. When I think about peace, it's a little bit, I think the technical theological term is squishy, sort of amorphous. Oftentimes when you ask someone to define peace, for instance, my Kindle dictionary, it defines it by what it's not or by what's missing when peace is there. So it's freedom from disturbance, freedom from war and violence, freedom from civil disorder, freedom from dispute or dissension between people, freedom from anxiety and distress. And then also somewhere down the line, one of the definitions is dead, which I guess is what they mean by rest in peace, that peace, death is the ultimate peace by some accounts. I'm more interested, when I started to look at this, what peace actually is. I did a little snooping around in some of my old seminary books and pulled out my Greek lexicon and some of the Hebrew stuff and started looking at the words that are used for peace in the Bible. One of the readings today, traditionally in the lectionary that some churches used to read through the Bible every 3 years, one of the passages that's read today on the second Sunday of Advent is from Philippians, the first chapter. So it's the very beginning of St. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and he's writing this from jail. So it's not happy times for him, but he's trying to encourage the church, and he starts with the words that he's greeting them with grace and peace, which is how he often started his letters. So I looked at that, the word that he uses there for peace, and it's a Greek word, irene, kind of like irony, but not. And that word is different in the Greek than what we may initially think of as peace. It's a gathering together of disparate parts. It's a making oneness. It's a healing idea of bringing everything together, reconciliation. The word that's used most often in the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament, some of the readings from there this morning, is shalom, which again is, we think we know what that means. Kind of easy breezy, kind of groovy, like, hey, shalom. But that also has a different, deeper meaning, a completeness, a soundness, and a healing. It actually comes from the verb shalom, which means to make amends. So there's more to this piece. It's more of an action than just kind of a hanging out, being groovy. One of the definitions of what peace is that I liked when I was reading through some of the commentaries is a very old one, and now I realize I don't know who said it, but here, trust me, it's in there. The multitude of the angelic host praising God at Jesus' birth sang of peace on earth. The multitude of human worshipers at Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of David sang a responsive peace in heaven. Peace, then, is the sign and seal of Christ's kingdom, both in its state of patience here and in its state of glory hereafter. Some of you might know the paratranslation of the Bible called The Message that was written by a fellow I know, Eugene Peterson. And when someone asked him this question, what is peace? He said this: Jesus is the dictionary in which we look up the meaning of words. So Jesus is the definition and the incarnation of peace. Jesus is peace. And I love that, especially as we're looking at the coming of the baby Jesus, as we await the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of making things whole again. One of the readings from this morning, again, was from Philippians. And apart from the greeting, where Paul greets the church with peace, there's really nothing else in there about peace. But if you travel a little farther on in that same letter to Philippians 3, he talks about this peace that surpasses all understanding. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thank you, make your requests known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That peace that surpasses all understanding was something that I think many of us have heard. And I certainly grew up with the concept. I think I've probably prayed that prayer for people to have that kind of peace. But I don't know that I ever experienced it myself until last month when my father died, just before Thanksgiving. My father was the closest person to me in the world. And he had Alzheimer's. And that disease slowly takes away, peels away memory until you're left with sort of, some people say, your essential self. My father was 82 when he died. And the last 6 months or so of his life, his body was sort of giving out. But if he had been reduced to his essential self, he was kind, he never complained, and he was funny. And he went home to Jesus in his sleep. When my mom called me at 4 o'clock in the morning, when I was in Washington, D.C. on business, to tell me that Daddy had gone home, my first thought was relief that he was at peace and he was healed and whole again, and that he was, in fact, resting in peace because he was resting with the one who is peace. But most of my life, my father was 40 years older than I am, and when I was younger, my son's age, when I was 13, a friend of mine, a classmate of mine, her father, who was in his late 30s, dropped dead of a heart attack. It was sudden, and I was absolutely terrified that my father was going to die. I lived with this anxiety that in his absence, the world would be chaotic. And I never said goodbye to him without telling him I loved him and tell him to be careful, whether he was just running to the store or getting on a plane. And all these years later, when he is absent from the world, I've been given this incredible gift of that peace that St. Paul talked about, that peace that surpasses all understanding. One of the first people I told about my dad's passing was somebody I was supposed to have lunch with that day, and he was on his way to do some lobbying at the Capitol in Washington and texted me back saying that he had found a quiet corner in the rotunda to pray for me, and that his prayer was that I would have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And that was the first word of peace that was spoken into the vacuum that my father left, that Jesus has filled. So as we look toward the coming of the Christ child and the incarnation, let us remember that death isn't the end of the story. That it's, ooh, I forgot to tell you to put the little thingy up, if you've got it. Is it there? There we go. The beginning is what it is, in fact. The beginning is near. That death is not the end, it's just the beginning. That this life is not the end, it's just the beginning. And may you remember that and have peace this Advent and always. Thank you.